Well, that was fun. Thank you, Jacob, for putting that together. And we sure do appreciate all our moms out there. And I want to just put up here on the screen once again, opportunities for ways to share, to help support our ministry. I am super thankful for the continued support that so many provide for our ministry here as the finances continue to come in and needs are met. But this is two options of ways to give. You can support us online through the website or also mailing in gifts to our PO box there, as you can see it on the screen. Thank you for those who still continue to give so generously. At this time, I'm going to share our scripture today. It comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Well, today is Mother's Day, and we have a special Mother's Day, I think, really, this year. Every Mother's Day is important, but this one seems to have added significance. While others have been laid off from work, your job has only grown, and it's grown exponentially. You are, as mothers, the ultimate essential workers. It's good that we are taking time to recognize doctors and nurses and first responders, and they really have become the heroes again. But we can't overlook the moms who have also stepped up when the schools have closed and the daycares have closed, and realize that you are our heroes in this too. And then I think, what about the category of those moms who are also doctors and nurses and first responders and moms? I don't even know how you do it, but you're doing it. And you deserve great, great praise. Back a long, long time ago in 2018, salary.com did a study in which they put out the estimate that this typical stay-at-home mom worked the equivalent of 2.5 full-time jobs. And then they calculated what her salary should be worth, and they said around $162,000 a year. Now, I don't find anywhere how that gets adjusted for the number of kids that you have or the particular challenges certain kids might present. But all that was done a long time ago, 2018, before you were made a full-time teacher. So let's just say now you have 3.5 full-time jobs and that your salary should be well in excess of $200,000 at least. And then some of you are still working a full-time job on top of that. So my goal right now is to encourage tired moms out there Your task is huge and very often underappreciated. And I realize that in doing this, there could be some unintended consequences, even in what I've just said. Because by pointing out how hard it is for you to do what it is you do, I might be convincing even more young people to forego being a parent. And I truly believe that the decline of the family is a global crisis that far outweighs the effects of any disease. So the list of reasons people give today for why they're not a parent or why they're not a mom continues to grow. I mean, being a mom limits your career. It constricts your travels. It reduces your living space. It decimates your calendar, and it completely alters your entertainment options. And that's just the beginning of the list, because parenthood is difficult. It's a vast commitment. And yet it's never seemed so optional. And for a growing number of people, I think it's an option that they're just choosing to avoid. I know my family stands out whenever we pull up somewhere with our big white van and all the kids start leaping out. But as we celebrate moms today, I want to begin with a simple Bible question. And I think most of you will not know the answer, even if you think you know the Bible. My question is this: what was the first commandment? What was the first commandment? And I know some smart ones out there think, I know the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And if you're referring to the Ten Commandments, you're correct. But what is the first commandment given in the Bible? What is the first thing God ever commanded a human being to do? Well, it comes in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. I'm going to read that now. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So the first thing God commanded human beings to do after creating them was to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. It's a basic truth. It's so basic, it's very easy to overlook, that the first commandment God gave to human beings was to be parents. Now, I've got to clarify that right away, that this command, well, the first, is not necessarily for everyone. Not everyone can do this, and that's okay. Jesus was not a parent. I don't think the Apostle Paul was a father. A lot of important people throughout history have never had children, and they did just exactly what God wanted them to do. But let's not allow the exception to negate the rule. The command to be fruitful and to multiply remains the very first thing God said his people should do. And that makes it something very important and very good. It's so obvious that I shouldn't have to say it, but if this command had not been obeyed, none of us would be here. End of story. But there's a constant drumbeat today in our culture that really is diminishing the importance and the value of motherhood. And I think one reason we find that to be the case, that the diminishment of motherhood in our culture today, is because we live in a meritocracy. Now, maybe you've never heard that word before. You should learn a new word every day. Meritocracy. Let that be your new word for the day. What is it? Well, a meritocracy is a society where the most important positions are supposedly earned by the highest achievers. Call it the ACT and SAT driven world that we live in. The smartest people go to the best schools and get the most important jobs. So that's the way it's supposed to work in the meritocracy. Those with the most advanced degrees, those trained in the Ivy League, those willing to work long hours away from home, these are the ones we're told are the most important. These are the ones we admire most. These are the people we call experts. And these are the ones who tell us what to do. And well, moms just don't have a place in a world like that. Numerically speaking, moms are far more likely to be high school dropouts than Ivy League graduates. In a meritocracy, they say that the qualifications for entry into a position, if the qualifications for entry into a position are low, then maybe that job isn't important. But anyone who believes that doesn't know anything about what it means to be a mom. G.K. Chesterton once said, how can it be an unimportant career? I'm sorry, let me start over again. He said, how can it be an important career to tell other people's children about mathematics and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? A woman's function is laborious, not because it is minute, but because it is gigantic. And even among Christians, I think we sometimes forget this. A mom who toils day in and day out in a modest home on a suburban street might begin to think her calling less important, maybe, than a missionary or another full-time Christian worker. But I found a good article this week from Rachel Jankovic. She's writing on Desiring God and the Desiring God website. And this is what she says as she confronts this faulty thinking. Her article is called Motherhood as a Mission Field. She writes, the closer you get to home, the less intriguing the work of sacrifice seems. As someone once said, everyone wants to save the world, but no one wants to help mom with the dishes. When you are a mother at home with your children, the church is not clamoring for monthly ministry updates. When you talk to other believers, there's not any kind of awe about what you are sacrificing for the gospel. People are not pressing you for needs you might have, how they can pray for you. It does not feel intriguing or glamorous. Your work is normal because it is as close to home as you can possibly be. You have actually gone as far as to become home. Jankovic continues. She says, if you are a Christian woman who loves the Lord, the gospel is important to you. It's easy to become discouraged, thinking that the work you are doing does not matter much. If you were really doing something for Christ, you would be out there, somewhere else, doing it. Even if you have a great perspective on your role in the kingdom, it's easy to lose sight of it in the mismatched socks, in the morning sickness, in the dirty dishes. It's easy to confuse intrigue with value and to begin viewing yourself as the least valuable part of the church. She goes on. There are a number of ways in which mothers need to study their own roles and begin to see them not as boring and inconsequential, but as home, the headwaters of missions. At the very heart of the gospel is sacrifice, and there is perhaps no occupation in the world so intrinsically sacrificial as motherhood. Motherhood is a wonderful opportunity to live the gospel. Jim Elliot famously said, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Motherhood provides you with an opportunity to lay down the things that you cannot keep on behalf of the people that you cannot lose. They are eternal souls. They are your children. They are your mission field. So as a pastor, I get at least a dozen missionary letters every month from people serving around the world. And those letters often contain reports of what they're doing and prayer requests of needs that they have. And you know, most moms aren't writing a monthly newsletter about their special missionary service, but maybe we should. Not to add another burden to you. You don't need another job. But we need to be paying attention. We need to be listening. We need to be praying. And so I'm thankful for what Marlene is doing. Marlene Honeywell has put together this ministry idea. She's calling it Altar to Altar. You heard about it in the announcements. Maybe you've seen it in the daily updates. Her goal is to connect seniors in the church with young families and to help provide a bridge of encouragement and prayer between those two groups. I know a lot of seniors maybe are feeling bored and lonely. A lot of young families are just going crazy with the chaos. So why can't we help each other in this special way? So Marlene got this idea and is already involved with connecting families. Maybe you've already been connected. I know my family has been linked up with Lars and Mary Haynes, and you know, we know them as Uncle Lars and Aunt Mary, and we are so, so blessed because I know they are praying for us and we are praying for them. But as a mom, you are a missionary and you need prayer support. So take advantage of this opportunity. I just want to finish by offering a few words of encouragement as you watch over your children. And I'm going to try to put these points up on the slides as well. But as you watch over your children, know that the Lord is watching over you. Let's see if I can get that here. There we go. As you watch over your children, the Lord is watching over you. And there's an encouragement here from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." What does that mean? Well, it means that I think a lot of moms sometimes feel guilty for maybe not being good enough. You ask yourself questions like, should I be stricter or should I be more lenient? Or maybe you wonder whether you should be more germ conscious or less germ conscious. Do you make them eat it all or do you let it go? And that's just the tiniest tip of the iceberg of the kinds of questions you wrestle with. And so it's easy to feel like maybe you're not doing what you should, but take heart. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16 remind us that we'll get it wrong. We'll all get it wrong. But God never fails, and he will watch over you. And he says here that he has engraved you on the palms of his hands. What a prophecy that is. What a picture that Jesus, when he was nailed to the cross, took all of our failures with him, and that he watches over you. He is with you. So the Lord watches over you, and he comforts you. Let me pull up our next point here. And that is that as you watch over your children, the Lord is strengthening you for the task. He is strengthening you for the task. And I want to draw attention now to 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. There you go. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. We all have plenty of moments that we regret, times that we wish we could have a do-over. But know that you cannot do this in your own strength, and there's just no way we can. So we can trust in his strength. We can trust in his forgiveness. He will see us through. It says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. And then finally, the third word of encouragement for you today is that as you watch over your children, the Lord is guaranteeing your reward. He is guaranteeing your reward. Galatians 6, verse 9. Tells us, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I hope you believe that today. Don't give up. Don't become weary in doing good. The day will come when your children will amaze you. And even if you don't get there, there is still the promise of reward for those who stay faithful. So hang on. Most mothers don't need to be told this, and I know it's your nature to persevere and to hang on and to never give up, even when your children don't seem to get it. God made you that way on purpose, and it's a good thing. But when you get exhausted, when you get worn down, when you're tired, remember your faithfulness will be rewarded. If not by your children, then certainly by God. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So the first commandment is to be fruitful and to multiply. And when God gives us a command, he supports us and strengthens us in that task. So as you do this, the Lord will watch over you. He will strengthen you and he will reward you. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I thank you for the strength that you give. I thank you for watching over us. I thank you for the promise of reward. Lord, renew us today in all that you've called us to do, whether it's being a mother or a father, whether it's being a teacher, whether it's serving in any way. We thank you that you are with us, that you strengthen us. Help us to do it for you, in obedience to you, and in the joy that you give. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.